I can't think of a better reminder as we go into 2026. As I said, Happy New Year, and you're about 4 days in. How's everything going? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's usually the way it is, 4 days in. But, I mean, it is only 4 days. But I wondered as I was preparing this week, did anyone come here today hoping, praying, longing for someone to sing something, pray something, or preach something that would strip all their hope away? Did anyone come here hoping to be discouraged? Did anyone come here today hoping that someone would knock the wind out of their sails? No, nobody came here that way today, did they? Nobody got up this morning saying, please hurt me. Please strip away all my motivation for serving the Lord. Please discourage me. Please defeat me. Actually, we came here today looking for the opposite, didn't we? We came here looking for encouragement. We're seeking hope. We desire to be motivated to the greater things of the Lord. We came here looking for help. If I told you there was a secret that would allow you to have hope in this world, would you want to know what it is? I mean, in a world that is so filled with hopelessness, discouragement, and defeat, if I told you that I knew a way that you could live your life every single day and never lose heart, would you refuse to hear me tell you that secret? Of course not. That's why you're here. You see, in our main scripture that I'll be preaching from this morning, if you haven't already turned, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In our main scripture that I'll be sharing with you from this morning, Paul tells us that he has found the secret to staying encouraged in the Lord, no matter what was happening in his life. No matter what was happening. See, I want to read to you. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says this. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to take a moment to encourage you as you've turned the page on a new year, right? 2026, 4 days in. Everybody's feeling confident, probably because you haven't been back to work yet. I don't know. But I want to encourage you that whatever happens in the year ahead, and a lot can happen, my friends. I want to encourage you that whatever happens in the year ahead, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. You see, Jesus told us that there would be trouble in this life, right? He said there would be trouble everywhere. John 16, 33, it says, I have told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Okay? It's not if. You know, I think a lot of times we go into a new year and we go, man, we just need this year to be better than last year. There's so much opportunity. The reality is, my friends, that this year may bring its own trouble. But we remember what Jesus said as he told us these things so that we would have peace in him, not in this world necessarily, but peace in him, right? In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. You see, church, in spite of what troubles and struggles come your way in 2026, I want you to know that you will never be alone. You will never be alone. Jesus will not abandon you in your struggles. He will not. Jesus has already overcome everything given us, His followers, the ultimate victory. Do you believe that this morning? That no matter what happens, no matter what comes against me, no matter what comes against my family, no matter what comes against my church family, it doesn't matter how big, how awful, how bad it may be, that no matter what happens in this life, because I got Jesus, I've got victory. And this world can't take that away. The enemy can't take that away. You see, let me ask you this. Do you believe that no matter what comes against you, no matter how hard and troublesome the times will become, that you have victory in Jesus? John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Church, the thief tries to take your life, but Jesus gives you life. Right? The life Jesus gives us is eternal, but it starts immediately. I want to encourage you with some truths from 2 Corinthians 4, that passage I just read to you. I want to encourage you with some truths that will help you to not lose heart in 2026, even when life gets very discouraging. Okay. Now, if you're interested, as I started this off a certain way, I want to kind of lead into my points a certain way. If you're interested in being encouraged, being motivated, and having hope in the Lord to not lose heart no matter what comes your way in 2026, then I ask you to give me your attention. Give me your attention, because I want to give you the secret to living a life that never loses heart no matter what struggles come your way. The first thing that I would ask you to write down, if you're taking notes, write down, is the incredible statement found in verse 16a, and that is this: therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we do not lose heart. Now, Paul is telling us this morning that regardless of what comes his way, he does not give up. He does not give up. He does not give in. And he does not give out, right? He does not lose heart. If we're real honest, if you're real honest this morning, as I've had to be real honest with myself this past week, if we're real honest, it is easy to lose heart, isn't it? It is. I know we want to be able to say the churchy word and go, no, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'll never lose heart. The reality is, in this world, it's easy to lose heart, right? It's so easy to come to a place in life where you are just ready to throw in the towel, lay down your burdens, and just quit everything. It's easy. Marriage is not what you think it should be. Kids are living destructive lives. Workplaces are becoming battlegrounds against your faith, right? Loved ones don't want anything to do with God. It seems to me, just from reading what the Bible says about the life of Paul, it would have been easy for Paul to lose heart. But Paul says, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12, same chapter, says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. were perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body, right? So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul is saying this, in spite of all the persecution, in spite of having good reason to throw in the towel and walk away from probably a lot of people, he is still standing. He is still a force to be reckoned with for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, I will not lose heart. No matter what comes my way, no matter what comes against me, I will not lose heart. But there's something here that you need to see. Paul isn't bragging. He is making a simple statement of fact. You see, Paul had discovered a spiritual secret that enabled him to be encouraged even in the midst of circumstances that would have discouraged anyone else, any of us. You go to the doctor, you get some bad news, you're discouraged, right? But we should be able to go into that doctor's office and go, I don't care what happens in here today. I walk out of there with the same heart for God, for Jesus, that I did when I walked in. You see, Paul's life was anything but easy. I want you to consider two passages that speak of the problems Paul was forced to endure in this life, and that is 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10 says this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him, we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us, right? There are a couple things that stick out to me in this verse, though Paul doesn't give specifics on the hardships that he was facing in Asia, right? He does write, however, that he felt like he was going to die, right? That's what he said. He felt like he was going to die, and he realized that there was nothing he could do to help himself. There was nothing he could do to help himself. He had to totally rely on who? God. He had to totally rely on God. Friends, there will be moments. I felt this overwhelming sense from God this week that there will be moments in this year that you're not going to be able to endure on your own. You're not. You can't do it. You won't be able to handle it. You're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to quit. You're going to say, you know what, I think I'll just sleep in today. There's going to be a lot of things that are happening in your life, maybe even in your home, that are going to make you want to feel like quitting. There's going to be those moments. But church, we must recognize the truth of God's word before entering in those difficult and challenging moments. I've heard so many people say, God will never give me more than I can handle. I'm here to tell you that's an absolute lie. If you didn't have more than you could handle, then why would you need God? It's an absolute lie that God would never give us more than we can handle. Now, of course, there will be times in this year when you can't handle things properly. I guess that becomes the reality for us today. We think we can handle things well. But the question is, do we handle things in the way that brings glory to God? You see, we often depend on our own skills and our own abilities when life seems easy. But we turn to God when we are unable to help ourselves. Church, we should rely on God every moment of every day in our lives. Amen? Every moment. We, in all honesty, I don't think we should ever go on autopilot. You know, I think we do the same routine every day, and it just, and what happens is we just start to go through the motions. You start to go through the motions in your marriages and your relationships, and you start to go through the motions at your job, and you go through the motions of life, and before you know it, God is not in it, because you have, in a sense, walked away from God. But here's the thing. The reality is, from God's word, is this, that we need to understand. We face death all day long. Okay? We have an enemy that wants to take us out every single day. An enemy that is looking for a way to get a foothold in your life. You see, in the moments of life that you feel like, I got this, is when you're most vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. Because the reality is, you don't got this. Without God, you don't. You might be able to stand in a worldly perspective and say, man, I'm doing pretty good. But the reality, without God, there's no way you can endure what's going to come your way in 2026. The day that you survive, God, I remind you, has rescued you once again. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29 says this, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. You see, in spite of all these things that Paul endured in this life, all these trials, all these tribulations, all these burdens that were on his heart, Paul is able to say, I never lose heart. I don't think we can say that this morning. But we need to be able, we should desire to want to say that, right? In all honesty, we want to be able to come into church and we want to be able to say, yeah, I don't lose heart. But we're not walking with you 24/7. But God is. God is. I want to be able to say I never lose heart. Is there anyone here that who can actually echo that statement? Truly? Can you say today, I never get discouraged? I never want to give up. I am always encouraged. I'm always excited. I'm always energized about life. And in my walk with the Lord, I got it. The reality is, as God has shared with me this week, there's none of us that can say that. Not even the one standing before you right now. There is none of us that can say that. We all stumble from discouragement to discouragement, don't we? We all want to quit from time to time. We all want to just stop and give no more because we feel like we've given all we can. Most of us are like David, who said in Psalm 55, 6 through 8, I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Church, even those who were especially close to God, like David was, have moments when they want to escape from their problems and the pressures in life. If we would be honest, we would have to admit that we would at times, like to sprout a pair of wings and fly away from the trials, the tribulations, and the troubles of life, right? You know that commercial, Calgon, take me away? Yeah. We just want all the problems in the world to stop. We just want to be freed from them. But here's the thing. I know there are times when leaving our troubles and our afflictions behind seem like the best option. They do. We've all been there. We think, if I could just get away from this thing, whatever it is, then I would be more at peace, or my life would be better. And I get it from a worldly mind. It seems like the best option. I mean, I for one am more interested in reaching a place that Paul is speaking of, though. That no matter what happens in my life on a daily basis, no matter what, I want to be able to stand up at the beginning of each day, or in the midst of the day, or at the end of the day, right? And I want to echo Paul's words stated with great confidence. I do not lose heart. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what tries to bring me down, I will not lose heart. Now, as I'm saying that, I truly believe that place is available to every single one of us this morning. It's available to all of God's children, I should say. I believe that place is available to you. The next thing that I want to share with you is this. The struggle is real. Okay? The struggle is real. As I said earlier, it is easy to lose heart, isn't it? It is. If you're real honest. Now, the only way you can overcome this and really truly put your life in the hands of the one that will help you not lose heart, you've got to be able to say that you would lose heart. Okay? Because the reality is you lose heart. You get news of something bad and it wants you, and you want to lose heart. You want to walk away. It's like, golly, this world is a terrible place to be. Da 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 da. All these things, right? It's easy to lose heart in this world. The reason it is easy to lose heart is found in the rest of verse 16, right? Verse 16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, and this is the reason we lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So outwardly we are wasting away. Here's the thing. Paul identifies a common struggle that we all face, every one of us. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. The reality is, 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. You see, church, one of the reasons it's so easy to lose heart is because the outer man is perishing. You're not the same person you were yesterday. I realize that every day I try to put my socks on. I don't move like I once did. I'm not getting any younger. And the reality is this life here does not last forever. It does not. You see, the outer man is perishing. The outer man means the fleshly part of us, right? It encompasses both body and the mind. You see, the results of aging in the body and sin in the mind conspire to strip away joy, hope, and peace. That's what it does. It strips away joy, hope, and peace that's in our hearts and in our minds. It says, though outwardly we are wasting away. One of the main reasons we lose heart in this life is because our bodies don't typically get better with age. Oh, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things to try to, you know, stay young. Yeah, I don't care how young they look. They don't feel that way at all. Again, I don't know about you, but there are days that I realize that I can't do what I once did. There's this idea every year I play with. I get a phone call from a friend, and he's like, "Hey, man, we could use you. We could use you. We could use you on the softball team." And every year I'm like, "Yeah, I want to come out of retirement and I'm going to play softball." Until I tell Tracy, and she tells me that's not a good idea. That's if I want to continue to move. You see, in my mind, I can still compete, and maybe on some level, I can in the 50 and older league, maybe. But Paul is stating something that I think we need to get this morning. We need to get. What does it matter if the outer man is perishing as long as the inward man is experiencing daily spiritual renewal? What does it really matter? We put more time and energy in taking care of the outer man, and we neglect the inner spirit. The spirit that lives forever, I might add. Destination's your choice, where you live. But the spirit lives forever. Okay? Now, again, before you jump to conclusions here, I want you to understand, Paul is not suggesting that the body is not important. That's not what he's saying. Or that we should ignore its warning signs or lights that go off that say, you might need to go get this checked out. He's not saying that. I mean, after all, our bodies are a temple of God. Amen? I mean, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Now, because this body that we're living in for the time being is a temple for God, we should take care of our bodies. Amen? We should take care of our bodies. Now, however, we cannot control the natural deterioration of human nature. You can't. This natural deterioration comes from two sources that I want to share with you. It comes from the fallen nature. Okay? The whole natural world is under the curse of God because of sin. The world is under a curse of futility, suffering, corruption, and death. Romans 8, 22 through 23. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. Now, when I think about this, I realize that God saves His children in stages, not all at once. If He did, we wouldn't be here, right? I mean, we would be perfected and we would be with God immediately. It'd be like, oh, that was the goal. The goal was for John to be saved, and on October 8th, I would have gave my life to Jesus and fell over dead right there. But the reality is that's not the only goal. You see, I need you to hear me on this, and please don't misunderstand me. The reality is we're already saved, amen? What saves us? Jesus. Nothing else. Only the blood of Jesus Christ saves. You can't do anything else to be saved anymore or any better, right? We are forgiven and we are justified because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and the empty tomb. Now, when we come to Jesus in faith and repentance, He eternally saves us from the penalty of our sins. Can anyone say thank you, Jesus, this morning? That's right. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the thing. We are not set free from corruption and death. Everyone in this room, saved or unsaved, will waste away and die. You're like, man, that's not very encouraging. It's a reality that you need to know. And you need to understand. You don't escape that. No, everyone in this room, everyone in this building, young, old, whatever, every single one of us will waste away and die. That is the promise of God's word. Okay? Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. We will all waste away and we will all die. We might die of old age and slip off into eternity in our sleep. I keep praying that's how I go. We might die as a child. We lost a grandson, right? You've experienced loss. We might die as a child or a young adult. We might have a sudden heart attack. We might get cancer and waste slowly away. We might be consumed by Alzheimer's. We might die suddenly in a car wreck. We might be struck by lightning. There's lots of ways, right, that we can die. We might leave this world in any of 10,000 ways. I mean, we could sit here and we could name them and name them and name them, but the reality is we will die, okay? We don't know how, but it's going to happen. We will one day lay down this old corrupted flesh. Church, the outer man is perishing. There's nothing you can do about it. It's perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What this means is we all live out our days in fragile jars of clay. One day the vessel will crack, it will break, and we will fade away. That, my friends, is the nature of life. The reality, that reality causes us to do what? Lose heart. It causes you to lose heart. It does. Whether you want to admit it or not this morning, the reality that you will not live forever, that you do not know that one day you are going to die, it causes you to lose heart. And it's just the natural process of living in a fallen world of sin and corruption. Death didn't start happening until sin entered our world through Adam and Eve, right? And now death is a part of it. The other source that this natural deterioration comes from is fallen man. You know, the other element in this world that causes us to lose heart is other people. That's it. Right? It is. I was just talking to Jim today. I mean, he's close to the family that lost their 16-year-old son because of some reason. That somebody was either doing too fast, whatever it was. Bottom line, fallen man. You know what? I mean, look. If this fallen nature doesn't kill you, fallen man will. Catch this, because here's the deal on that. The foolishness of a fallen man causes him to get drunk, drive his car, and kill another person, right? The fallen nature leads people to strapping bombs on their bodies and walking onto city buses and killing people. The fallen nature causes terrorists to go into shopping malls and kill people. The reality is, fallen people let us down, right? Fallen people hurt our feelings. Fallen people fail the Lord. Fallen people hurt us physically, verbally, emotionally, spiritually. And this causes us to lose heart. This was Paul's experience. 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 10. I share it with you again. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. Church, 2 Corinthians 4:12a. So then death is at work in us. All day, every day. If I make it home today after church, it was a gift from God. Because I'm living in a world of a whole lot of fallen people that are doing things the way they want to do it and not the way God wants them to do it. Amen? That's the reality. See, this is our experience too. It's so easy to lose heart when life and people seem to turn against you, isn't it? Someone persecutes you, or maybe your health isn't good, and we lose heart. There will be times in this new year that you are going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. There will be times when you lose heart. But here, I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to. You don't have to lose heart. My friends and family, you don't have to be defeated. You don't have to become a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to go to church. You don't have to be one of those who used to be faithful. I believe that is what God wants me to encourage you with today. You see, you can reach a place where you don't lose heart. That you don't give up. That you don't let anything around you cause you to stop following Jesus. Stop holding on to His truths. You see, church, you can reach a place where you can press on in spite of everything around you pressing you down. You can echo Paul's incredible statement. Therefore, I will not lose heart, though outwardly I am wasting away. Which leads to my final thought for this Sunday, this first Sunday in 2026, and that is this. Rest in God's wonderful promise. Rest in God's wonderful promise. 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 8 says this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What we need, what I need, is to come to a place where Paul came to, right? I want to reach the place in my life where, though outwardly I'm wasting away, I will not lose heart. You see, I want to come to a place where even though I'm attacked from within or without or from wherever by a fallen nature and a fallen world, I want to be able to say, I do not lose heart. I want to come to a place where I do not lose heart regardless of what is going on around me or in me or whatever. God gives us three important realizations that will help us not lose heart. The first one is this: we are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. Do you believe that this morning? We are given fresh strength every day. You know, I mean, there's days, right, and you feel this, there's days when you kind of crash into your bed and you put your head down on the pillow and you go, God, I don't know how I got through this day, right? We've all been there. Maybe it's every day. Maybe it's every day we're just like, please let me just fall asleep. Let me just get some rest, right? But then we wake up the next day and we're ready to go, right? That is a gift from God. I mean, we're given this fresh strength every day to endure whatever comes our way. But I'm telling you, he's given you that in daily doses, right? He's not giving you enough strength to get through a week. He's giving you enough strength to get through today. He's giving you enough strength to get through today. You need to ask him to give you the strength to get through this day each and every day. And if tomorrow comes, he's going to give you the strength to get through that day too. You see, Paul reminds us that the body, the flesh, the outward man is perishing a little more, but the spirit, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The natural man, which includes the body and the mind, by the effects of sin and sinners, and the result of these constant attacks on our bodies, right, and our minds, every day we die a little. Every day we lose a step. Every day we experience heartbreak. We experience sorrow. We experience pain, problems, and the effects of the curse of sin in our world. Every day we face death all day long because we live in a world filled with sin and sinners. The things we see, the things we hear, the things we feel and experience all working against us, causes us to lose heart. Man, God, I can't believe I did that again. Man, God, I can't believe I was there. Can't believe I did that, right? Causes us to lose heart because it grieves the spirit. Man, this flesh, if we could just, leave it behind, that'd be great, right? But the reality is we got this flesh to deal with until the day that we go to be with Jesus. But these things cause us to lose heart. The outward man is continually being destroyed right before our eyes, right? We try to make it look good. And we do our best to take care of it. But the reality is, it's perishing. It's perishing a little more every single day. We can all relate, right? But we don't want to forget God's promise. While the outward man grows weaker and closer to the grave, the inner man is renewed day by day. I'm going to live forever. You're going to live forever. You know, there was a time in my life when I feared death. Today I welcome it. Because I know it could hurt the transition. But nothing is going to be greater than being with Jesus. Nothing. Because I won't have to mess with this stuff anymore. You see, God's promise for those who have given their lives to Jesus is that every day He will give you this spiritual strength to face the trials of that day. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, but He will give you the strength to face whatever comes your way today. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Right? I can promise you in 2026, each day will bring its own unique challenges and problems. It will. Look, church, this should not come as a surprise. Jesus told us it was going to come. And he's willing to equip you to be able to endure, bringing God glory, the things that you will face. Right? So I can tell you, 4 days into 2026, I promise you, there will be days that are very challenging. They will be. But every day comes with its own measure of grace from God. Amen. Here is his promise. Lamentations 3:21-26 says this. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Church, we lose heart in this life because we focus our attention on everything but the one thing that matters most in our lives. Jesus should matter most in your life. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your grandkids, not your job, not your bank account, not your church family. No, Jesus should be the one that matters most in your life. And as we've been talking about for weeks, that should reflect in everything that you do. 2026 can be an awesome year. It won't be void of problems. It won't be void of troubles. But you can endure it, and you can get through it without losing heart if you lean on Jesus. Amen? Amen? The second thing is, nothing we face in this life will last forever. Notice the language used here, for our light and momentary troubles. Okay? Let's examine that for just a moment, because that's not how the trials feel when they come our way, right? They don't feel light, and they don't feel like they're just momentary. No, they feel like they last forever, right? I mean, am I just preaching to myself this morning? No, they feel like they don't feel light, and they don't feel like they're over in a moment. No, they feel like they last forever. But when you read Paul's words in their entirety of chapter 4, Paul is saying that his troubles were more than he could handle, right? He says that he was pushed beyond his natural bounds. It was literally more than he could take. But then he states something there that is so awesome. And he says, for our light and momentary troubles. This man has been through it all. He's faced death every day. And then he says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is he saying here? Well, Paul is reminding us that the problems in this life that seem so heavy right now, and you've got them, I've got them, the troubles that seem as if they will never end, right? The burdens we think will break us under their weight are really just weighty for a moment. I can't tell you how many Christians I've talked to that have been contemplating taking their lives. And all they really wanted to know was, Pastor, if I did this, would I go to hell for it? And I'm like, well, I don't believe there's anywhere in the Bible that says if you commit suicide as a believer in Christ that you would go to hell for it. There's nothing. That's a lie. But oh, what you might miss out on if you do it. Oh, what you would miss out on. You might be just getting ready to come out. You might be just getting ready to come out of that trouble that you're facing right now. You may be just right on the verge of a day of being healed forever, right? People take matters into their own hands. That's sin. That's the fallen world in which we live. Because this life, everything we endure in this life, is light and momentary. It really is, in the grand scheme of eternity. Church, when we fix our eyes on what is unseen, and that is heaven, amen? Jesus, God, God's Word, then we will be able to face whatever the day brings with confidence. I love what Paul says in Philippians 1, 20 through 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Do you believe that this morning? When we can say and live in such a way that heaven is the goal, we realize that nothing in this life will last forever because it doesn't, right? It doesn't. That heartache doesn't last forever. You see, and one last thing I want to leave you with here, and it's the third realization that God shared with me this week, and it really helps us not to lose heart, and that is this. Everything that we face in this life has meaning. Everything that we face in this life has meaning. You see, Paul is reminding us that everything in this life, life's troubles, life's painful moments, life's victories for that matter, everything that we will ever face in this life has meaning. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. First things first, one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. This does not mean that everything that happens to us here on earth will be good. It doesn't mean that the outcome will be what we think it should be or good, right? It doesn't mean that everything is going to turn around and turn out the way that we think it should. It means that God is using everything that we face in this life to make us more like His Son, Jesus. Church, that is the goal. That should be your goal in 2026, to become more like your Savior. Trouble's going to come. You're going to face hardships. There's going to be days when you want to throw in the towel and you want to quit. But remember, you have a great big God on your side that you have all your faith and trust in, right? That He is going to get you to the goal. Church, I know this life can be very challenging, but we cannot lose heart. And the way we do not lose heart is to fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on our circumstances, but we are to fix our eyes on what is unseen. And His name is Jesus. And again, for what is seen is temporary. All this is temporary. It is. No matter how much you want to hold on to it. And I get it. We invest in it and we get to live it. And praise God, He's blessed us to be able to do the things that we do. And it's great, right? But it's temporary. It's temporary. Only the things that are in Christ will last. Let's pray. Father, we come before You on this first Sunday in 2026, and we say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the reminder that this world is full of trouble, but You have overcome the world. God, we have a goal and a final resting place in Your arms that will be the greatest place we could ever be. God, help us to navigate through this year without losing heart, because we have you. Because you're with us. Your word says you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. So God, help us. Help us to navigate through every aspect of life this year, remembering that we aren't going to lose heart, because this place is not our destination. Our destination is you. God, help us, strengthen us, and watch over us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord bless you, and I pray that He keeps you. I pray that He reveals Himself to you. His promise is, if you seek Him, you will find Him when you seek Him with all your heart. May the Lord bless your 2026 until we can be together again. In Jesus' name, amen.